بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اخلاق and ikram is a great duty in Islam, and more of this اخلاق and ikram revolve around three things. One is to make and to help out. The person is down and out, is broken, to help him out, to make things work for him. So in the working and making, what is required, the important thing that is required, that you help the person that is broken down, but don't hurt him. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. You're doing some good work, but that good work that you are doing, don't destroy it. Are you not destroyed by giving reminders of your generosity or hurting the person? What hurt you do, that person is under obligation, so he listens. He's got nowhere to turn, but he's under obligation, and because he's under obligation, so he can't say anything. On your side, you feel he's indebted, so I can take advantage, I can do, I can tell him. But in the process, what's happening, all the goodness that you have done, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ, everything is gone, finished. You did something good, but you have ruined it. The splendor, the goodness, and the kindness that you have done, you have destroyed it because of the harassment, the inconvenience, the problem that you have caused the person, everything is finished. So this was the one thing that was outstanding in the pious. Akhlaq. You're doing good, then forget about it. In fact, you'll do good to the extent that even in the process you have to go through some difficulty, you will go through that difficulty. You will not see now that this person that I'm doing good towards, he must reciprocate and he must recognize, he must understand. No reason for that. I needed to do it. Today he is broken down. Tomorrow I could be in that place. When I could have been in that place, if someone was going to treat me like this, how would I have taken it? They say one Nawab from Lucknow or somewhere, he was going through some constraints. Nawab is like a king, right? So wealthy, but he went through some difficult days. So he moved away from his kingdom to another Nawab. So the next Nawab understood now that this person came in a broken down state. So in some poetry says this, that forces a lion to become a wolf. A lion to become a wolf or a jackal or a fox. It's conniving, scheming things. So this that forces a lion, lion is daring, just do things. And that fox or that wolf connive, do things discreetly, scheming things. So that which forces the lion to behave like a wolf, Muhtajas. It's ihtiyaj. It's need, destitution. You were broken down. So from what you were, you came right down. So when this Nawab heard this, he says, good luck to you. My 2 cents is better than your 10 million. I don't need it. I'll go through the suffering, but thanks. So the good that we do, that must be for Allah Ta'ala, and must be, nobody must know about it. So discreet. Now if we do the good and then make an advertisement of it or smash the person down, then Allah will say, you got your reward. أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا. You got your reward. How you got it? Now people, some people talk good about you. You got some fame, some popularity, some type of name you've got. But end of it, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ. You got some wealth and you got some name. So what you've been pining for, you've got that. أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا. You got that wealth, you wanted the name, you got it. Now what do you want by us today? What do you want? So the way of the old was they did that good, but they did, and nobody knew about it. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They will even go to the extent of preferring others over themselves, even though they go through difficulty. They're going through the whole process, they're going through difficulty. But Umar radiallahu anhu, when he's going in the outskirts of Medina Munawwara, patrolling to see now what's the condition. Labak gave that position. But that position doesn't mean, now, you must be proud of yourself. That position requires now that figure must be proportionately increased. He didn't have that power, so you didn't hear him patrolling. But the moment he's got that authority, now he's patrolling. What is happening here? What's happening there? So, when he's seen this destitute, the poor woman, whoever, when it helped out and all that. So, she says, but you know, you are supposed to be the Khalifa, not that person, not Umar radiallahu anhu. So, when she made this type of a comment, Umar went to a shiver. And he cried, but he just hid his tears. And he says, but how does the Amir al-Mu'minin know what's your plight? So then why is he the Amir al-Mu'minin? If he doesn't know, then why did he assume that position? So you see, that power, that authority, that wealth, what it requires, proportionately, that fikr must increase. Otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, the Allah can ask, I gave you some additional strength, some energy, some wealth. It was not for you to go and pile up. It wasn't for you to go and impress upon others. It wasn't for you to boast. It was for you to give those, to share these things, these favors, with those people that were less privileged. You are more intelligent, you're more understanding, you've got more wealth, you've got more power. So now, what's the meaning of this? Is it not for you to show it off? I come from this family, and I am like this, and I can do this, and I can... Was it for that? Or was it for you to become even more humbled and think, hey, Allah could have just reversed the whole thing. I could have been in this person's place and he could have been in my place. And how would I have liked, how if he dealt with me in this way? So the one aspect of akhlaq is this. How we can show some act of kindness, some beauty, some kindness proportionately to our wealth, our position, our authority. What can I do? How can I do it? I mentioned this earlier also. Ulama Buzurganuddin say that the quickest way to reach Allah Ta'ala, one is kindness. Any creation, any person, kindness, consideration. But this kindness has got three elements. One is kindness, like I showed. Right. One is then to hide faults. What a fault in him, that for the rest of my life I don't speak about it. It's between me and Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak knows it, I know it, but enough. I don't need to go and advertise. Allah Pak hid my faults. And Allah Pak wants me to hide the next person's fault. And I know how embarrassed I'll feel if my faults were exposed. Right? From my beginning of my youth, if my faults were exposed, I don't know how bad I would feel. So another person is also Allah's bondsman. He's not a stranger. So when he's not a stranger, he's a slave of Allah Ta'ala. Allah will like it. See, my slave, but the respect that he showed to my slave. See, it's good akhlaq and good character. So there must be a reason why it's going to be the heaviest thing on the days on the scale tomorrow. مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ تُرْفَعَ أن ترفع له الدرجات وتبنى له البنيان. We have high buildings, high palaces, stages in Jannah, proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants that. What he must do? You want to have that position, that comfort of the hereafter. Like, you know, you die and immediately and you die and you got no immigrations. You just presented your passport of kalima and straight you're gone. Present the kalima, passport, and you're gone. So you want that, and Allah says, I'll make it happen. But then you pay the price for it, and I'll make it happen. It's not impossible for me. I'll make it happen. But for this, Allah is talking about kindness. And that kindness has got three elements. You want that to happen. How was it happen? How will it happen? One that has wronged you, forgive. Don't talk about it. Did you ever hear Nabi Sam talking about the zulm that was done? Yes, if someone else was oppressed, Nabi Sam had retaliated. But for his personal self, forget it. Whether someone was taunting, someone was teasing, someone was harassing, whatever they've done. To the extent that the person who had ripped, who had tore the rib cage of his dear uncle, Nabi Sam was most affected on that occasion. That person comes, Hinda, she comes, and Nabi Sam readily accepts her for Islam. The leader of the opposition forces, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, later he became Abu radiallahu anhu, and he's accepting Islam. Nabi Sam is not only accepting Islam, he says, Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa aminun. Conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and these people are afraid that there will be bloodshed. But on the contrary to the expectations, the man that was the leader of the expectation, who brought about all that problem for the Muslims, right? 70 of the dearest companions of Nabi Sam all were martyred on that day, including his respected uncle. Then his teeth were martyred, right? And he had fainted, Nabi Sam had fainted for that moment. But then when this person comes in, Nabi Sam not only accepts his iman, but he says, honors him like this, Man dakhala dara Abi Sufyan fahuwa aminun. People are worried about bloodshed and me retaliating. Anybody gets into the house of Abu Sufyan, he is secure. I'm giving full amnesty. So he gave him not only, he didn't only accept the iman, but he honored him as well. See this. Ofu amman zalamak. Forgive. Just forgive. Don't talk about it. Now really, we don't understand this thing here. We say, no, I must get him. I. So when are we going to come right? So much that we hear, so much that we read, we talk about, we give bayans. And then when it comes to our own selves, then we've got some different standards. For people it's a different standard. For our own self is a different standard. One person is giving a bayan, you know. So the masjid is under construction, like the masjid is under construction here. So give two bayans. The one bayan he says he's addressing a woman, you see. So now he knows how to get the woman. So he says, you know, dunya mein kya hota hai, aurat to apne chahar diwar mein rehti hai, unko kya malum kis tarah sawab lootte hai. They remain within the four walls of their homes. They don't know how the sawab. People are just taking left, right and center. He's saying, he's doing one thing, he's doing something else. He's taking away the sobs. The poor woman sits in the home, they don't know. So the men are scoring, and they're scoring big time. These people are getting left out. So it was like an emotional talk. So the woman began to weep. Now, when he got them dry, driven emotionally, I said, yes, I just remembered now that there's one thing left of the masjid, and that seems to be about the main thing that's left. You know, the main thing that has been left now. So I just forgot about it. I just thought of it now. And that is the carpet of the masjid. Because obviously, the namaz is going to be on the carpet. So what's the main thing that's going to be taken? The carpet. So, when the malaika will take up this namazes to Allah Ta'ala and offer it in his presence, and the malaika will say, yes, O Allah Ta'ala, the men's namazes and the women's place of namaz. What a beautiful sight. The men's namaz. And O Allah Ta'ala, the place of namaz with all the contribution of the woman. What a beautiful, hey, straight away now. Someone's hearing is coming out. Someone's churi is coming out. Everything is coming out. So now, in the meanwhile, the bayan is over. Now he comes home. This is the second thing that I'm going to show. When he comes home, now he sees that his wife doesn't have those earrings, no nose ring, no bangles, no necklace, nothing. He says, what happened to all these things? No, you know what a bayan you gave, everything just went away. He says, ullu kahi ke, anari kahi ke, ye to dusro ke liye tha, aapke liye to nahi tha. This was meant for others, not for you. not a stupid thing, you. So you see the standards. What is the standard that relates to us? And what is the standard for others? So we are a privileged class. When we are a privileged class, then we got a different standard for us. Exactly this exact Yahud mentality. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Privileged. You're privileged. So everything must just work like how we say. If it moves away from how we say, then it doesn't work out. So this, we are talking about akhlaq. How do we treat? How do we deal? See, as the efforts of Islam, efforts of Iman will progress, then you'll get more complications, more difficulties. There was a little effort, right? So there were little problems. Now the numbers of the Muslims are multiplying. When the numbers are multiplying, then the complications also will be multiplied. If you got a small 4x4 shop, right? So you must envisage a loss of about, say, 10 rands every day. Right? Small shop you got, so 30 days, 300 rands you must envisage, right? But if you got a whole mall, then you must imagine, all right, if I lose, say, 100,000 or something a day, it's all right. Big mall I got now. 200 meters, so big it is. So I must envisage that amount of loss. So when the numbers are going to be increasing, then the problems are also going to be increasing. Now when the problems are going to be increasing, now how do we take those problems on? See, Musa alayhi salam's dua, as he's conferred nubuwwah, the first thing, he's expressing his inability and weakness. Rabbi shrahli sadri. Allah Ta'ala, expand my shoulders. Expand my chest. In English, the equivalent, I will understand, is give me broad shoulders. When you say broad shoulders, the shoulders are supposed to be taking burden, right? So, a responsibility is a burden. So you want a broad shoulder so that you can take the responsibilities. Responsibilities are poured out onto your head. Now you're taking it on. But you're taking it and you're delivering it safely. You're taking it correctly and you're delivering it safely as well. So for that you need the divine assistance. If you think, if I think that I can do it myself, it can't happen. It's going to be different, difficult things, complications, things that are not palatable at all, not to your taste. Sometimes it is your own people that are against you. But in that, now how are you going to maintain your sanity? You know, what happens to us is, we just look at the Quran or the Hadith one-sided. And then when we look at it one-sided, then that's the impression, that's the lesson that we get. So we heard, for example, the Quran Sharif says, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamun. Men are leaders. Of women, who's a leader? Men are leaders. No, I impressed upon the importance of mashwara, consulting. Whatever the children learned, they're not supposed to be going in a circular environment. But Allah forgive us. But if they've gone, they must discuss these things, whatever they've learned, with the elders. Because, see, one is the ingredient of Islam, and one is the flavor of Islam. So the ingredient must be right and the flavor must be right. Say for example, Coca-Cola is being sold, right? So you buying Coca-Cola off, right? You're buying it out. But you got the ingredients and you don't know the flavor. Can that thing sell? Will that product sell? You don't know what's the flavor. How to make the flavor. So you need to have the ingredient and you need to have the flavor. In that ingredient, you need to know the proportion. So you need to have the flavor, but you need to have the proportion. And you need to know what is the combination, how do you combine things. Because if you don't have the ingredient right, you're not going to get the flavor. But you don't know the proportion, then too you're not going to get it right. You say now, you know, the thing that brings about the taste of the biryani is the salt, right? So you've got a small pot of biryani, and you put 2 kilos of salt. You see, that's going to be the taste. You're going to make a mess up of it. But can you do without the salt? You can't do without the salt. The proportion must be right. The proportion was incorrect. Now that became unedible. You can't eat the thing. So you need to have the right proportion. Like you need to have the ingredient. Without the ingredient, without the salt, the thing is going to make you. Then you need to know how to place the salt. the masala and the salt, you need to know how to place it. You just know, all right, salt and masala, I must add that, this will be terrible, it'll be wonderful, excellent. So you prepare the whole biryani, and then when it's prepared, then you put the masala and the salt, and you're going to get a taste. So the ingredient also has to be right proportion and at the right time. The best thing, but in the wrong place, in the wrong proportion, will be the worst thing. It's the best thing, but in the wrong time, at the wrong place, it becomes the worst thing. Now look at hair and skin, right? That's the cosmetic of the body, right? What beautifies the body? The skin, color, whatever, right? And the hair, right? That's now the beauty of the body. Just think a little bit of the lighter side. One, we encourage the younger children, you know, under 14, 15, to shave off the hair. It's not a rule in the madrasa, but we encourage. Why? Because at that time, they don't have beard, they've got girlish features. So they've got girlish features now, one thing that will camouflage that girlish feature, will they take off the hair, right? Otherwise now, a boy can get attracted to a boy. It's happening everywhere. So how do you distract? One way to distract this is ask him to shave off the hair. So it's not a rule, but we encourage it. So one child sees the other child, his hair is shaven, he said, hey, you're going for chemotherapy, what? Anyway, coming back, you know, now the skin and the hair is the cosmetics in the body. The most beautiful, right? Type of skin, type of hair. Thick, black hair, that type of skin that brings about the cosmetic in the body. Right? So it enhances it. And the same skin and the hair, if it's pulled out and left aside, it becomes the dirtiest. Hey, throw this away. When you say throw it away? Just now it was in the right place, at the right time, it was the best. And then it's removed from the right place, left aside, now it becomes the worst thing. So the Sahaba Kiram, they learned all these things from Yusuf. They learned the ingredient, they learned the flavor as well. They learned not just the ingredient, but they learned the flavor as well. So when they learned the ingredient and they learned the flavor, they passed the Islam, and then you see Islam alive. Now, we got the ingredients of Islam, but we haven't acquired the flavor. So when we haven't got the flavor, now it's like a biryani, but it's overload of salt. Anybody to purchase, anybody to bite. You see the mix-up. So we got the ingredient, but we forgot the flavor. When we forgot the flavor, now we're trying to present it, but why is not selling? Why is not buying? Nobody's taking it. So we thought this, I got the ingredient, I got Islam. We didn't understand that Islam comes with a certain flavor. And you're not producing that flavor because you haven't got it at the right proportion. So I was speaking about the verse, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamun, right? So when you hear that men are rulers, right, over women, now you've got three different type of men. One person is my way or highway, my rule. So you can't even talk to him. The wife can't even talk to him. She's so strict and so hard and so harsh, can't even talk to him. So that's one extreme. And the other extreme is he's so soft, anything, you can just maneuver him. Just put a T on the eye and maneuver him how you want. Just manipulate the person. So is he a ruler then? That he's a driver. Or we have to go here for a drive. Right. Go here for a... So he's a driver. He's no more a ruler. So in one situation he becomes the oppressor. That he's so harsh you can't even talk to him. You can't even make him understand. You can't even reason. And in the second situation, he's not even a rat. You're just manipulating him however you want to manipulate. Now you want the person to be totally balanced. Now it's a ruler. So he's a ruler and he's an accessible person. He's a lovable person. But you can't turn him around. You can't manipulate him. Now see the perfection in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to Aisha when she was very young, right? Very young, 9, 10 years of age. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a man of perfection. When he was a man of perfection, then he knew exactly how to work. Sometimes he's racing with Aisha, coming right down to her age, right? Now you don't say, you at your age now, at 70 you will go to race. You will break your leg just now, or she will break her leg. Yeah? One fellow was trying to play, at his age he broke his toe. Now you don't pretend to be like that. You remain your age. Someone will spray in the back, spray that, say, oh, Nabi Sam did this. He did this, but he had that Nubuwwat strength. He had the strength of the Nabi, right? So he could race with the Hazrat Aisha. And then he could be amusing himself. He's raced with her, and he amuses himself. Once he had the race, she overtook him. And then now after a few years, again he had a race, and now he overtook her. And then he amused himself, says, see, amusing with Aisha. Tilka bitilka, see, this for that, this for that. Obviously they did the races at a place which was completely concealed, blocked off, nobody's there. You don't go on the road, start racing with your wife. I say, no, Aisha did that, so we race. So I say, we got the ingredient, no flavor. There's some Habshis, there's Abyssinians that are practicing archery, and Aisha is asked, Aisha, you want to see this thing? So yeah, I want to see it. And Nabi Sam is blocking her and showing her, and see it. Enough, we had enough now, Aisha. Yeah, enough. So where that leniency, the love, the kindness is supposed to be shown, he's showing that. But where there is supposed to be firmness, he's firm there. So now, obviously a woman, she wants attention for herself. That's a woman's nature, no matter what, which type of woman, but she wants attention to herself. So it came out of her tongue, Kafa Bika Safiya. Say Safiya is a little bit shorting. She's a little bit of a shorting, you know. So Nabi Sam explained to her, Takallamti bi kalimatin, lo muzijat bi al bahr, la ghalabatha, right? La mazaratha. You spoke one word. If this one word were to be added to the salty waters of the ocean, then this thing here would have even overwhelmed the salty water of the ocean. So bad was it. So when he needed to be strict, he was strict. When he needed to be firm, he was firm. You couldn't shake him. You couldn't move him. Now that's a ruler. In the heat of love, he's not taking you to Jahannam. Otherwise, now in the heat of love, and lovey, lovey, and then whatever she says, and try and then just try to justify what she's saying. Whatever she says, must just justify. Try and make it right, make it work. So that's not a ruler. That's a driver. You're being driven. They know how to drive you. They have to maneuver you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is suggesting to Zainab radiyallahu anha, Zainab, you've got an additional animal, right? One additional animal. We are returning from Hajj. And you see Hazrat Safiya's animal is a little bit not well. So why don't you loan your additional animal to her? That Jewess, she's coming from a Jewish background, she became Muslim. That Jewess, I must give her my animal. Nabi Sam stopped speaking to her for approximately 2.5 months. So where there was a need for him to be firm, he was firm. It doesn't mean now that you must be soft and kind and given to anything and everything. Otherwise, why did you become an alim? Why do you learn kitab? Why do you do talim in the house? Why do you do that? For you to be driven like this, no. So where there is the need to be firm, you will be firm. And where there is a need for you to be kind, you will be kind. Overall, the kindness will be greater, but that kindness doesn't mean that they can maneuver and they can eat you up, make you do anything and everything. Then you've got it wrong. See, I said at the beginning that without the flavor, it's not going to sell. You got the ingredient, but it's all mixed up. Or you didn't acquire the right flavor. When you didn't acquire the right flavor, now see the best thing, the best product, you put the best ingredient, but wrongfully you have placed it, now it's a waste. It's throw the thing, nobody's going to eat it. Not even a baby will eat that thing. See that? So, if you become strict, become so strict that nobody can, we are not accessible. And you become so lenient that anybody can turn us around. Now, a combination of the both, overall you are welcoming, you are merciful, you are kind, full of compassion. But where you need to be firm, you are firm as a mountain, nobody can shake you. No wealth can shake you, no popularity can shake you, nothing can shake you. Absolutely firm, strong. Now that's called a man, that's called a ruler. See? A rijalu qawwam. So the one ingredient of akhlaq is this good character. Good character, forgive, overlook the people's fault, no matter what they've done. Just forget, for the moment, just forget what they have done. ensure that you are being good to the person. What they're doing to you and how they're treating you, just disregard that. But ensure that you are doing the good. You must be the winner then. Why must you be the loser? Because of his stupidity, he must stop the good. Is that making sense? Let him carry on. I'm doing the good. And I'm doing it within parameters. Parameters not built by me, but Shari parameter. What Allah Pak is, Nabi Sam is saying, I will do that. I'm a slave to that. Not slave to my intelligence and my reasoning. Slave to what Allah Ta'ala is Nabi Sam has to say. Not a slave to my intelligence. See, now we want that Shariat to be explained by us. We will give it the explanation for us to follow it. See the sequence. The Quran Sharif will be explained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Who's going to explain it? So the Quran Sharif is speaking about broad principles. The details of these broad principles, who will bring it to us? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then the Quran Sharif will say, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, perform namaz. But did any verse in the Quran tell you how many rakats must be read at Fajr, how many at Maghrib? Any namaz, any Quran Sharif ayah tells you when Fajr namaz will start, and when Fajr namaz time will end. Any ayah will show you that. Any verse of the Quran will tell you that when you start off, you read Sana, then you read Ta'awuz, then Tasmiyah, then Surah Fatiha, then Surah. Does any verse of the Quran tell you this much? Right. And does any verse tell you that first you must stand in the Qiyam position, then this is how you're going to make the Ruku, and then you're going to come up, and then you're going to get into Sajda. Any verse tells you. So the details will be explained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The same with every other obligation, the details, the broad principle, the Quran will give. Aqimu salah, atu zakat, give out zakat. But what is going to be the threshold of zakat, is the Quran Sharif going to tell you this much, this is the threshold for you to qualify to give out zakat. Or this is the threshold for you to be the recipient of zakat. Is any verse explaining that? Not explaining. Is it explaining now how much you must give out zakat? No verse of the Quran Sharif. So the details and explanations will be given by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, the Quran Sharif will tell you, لَا تَأَكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Don't get into wrong type of businesses, right? Eating your wealth incorrectly, don't do it, wrong business. But now what is the right business and what is the wrong business, does any verse tell you? That if you have this type of a business, then this is wrong. And this is what will amount to usury and interest, right? See? Now that is why the confusion that is coming in today is we depend very largely on translations, right? And the translations don't have to be accurate. They can be misleading. Like most translations, they will translate riba as usury. But if you look into the dictionary, the English dictionary, usury is different to interest. Right? Usury means to take an exorbitant rate of interest. Exorbitant, like you're taking 100%, 200%, that's usury. Right. And interest is, you're taking a small amount. One is you're taking 5%, and the other person is saying 60%. So 60% is like usury, and this is called interest. But most translations will say, don't devour, don't devour usury. That means what they're implying, that little that you take is alright, but the big amounts is impermissible. It's haram for you to take. Now we depend on these translations, and then we go by the definitions that are provided in the dictionaries. So, no, but this is what the... But who prepared that dictionary? That person that doesn't even wash after istinja, that kafir, he prepared the dictionary. He suddenly became your mentor in deen. Right. To be able to explain the Quran Sharif or the Hadith, right? One is, the Nabi Sallam is going to give the explanation to the Quran, right? And that will be called hadith. And the explanation of the hadith will be given by the Sahaba-i-Kiram and thereafter the Imma Mujtahideen, great experts of deen, right? But for that expertise, right? For that expertise, one of the ingredients is, apart from you having that expertise, then you need to be loyal to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, people that are going to universities, I ask you, are they loyal, showing loyalty to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are they loyal? Sitting in kuffar gatherings, dressing up anyhow, learning Islamic courses, mixing, talking with all types of people, all and sundry. I ask you, is this showing loyalty to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Now suddenly a person just came up from here, and now he's commenting on the hadith. Common sense, right? You employ the services of an attorney. What type of an attorney? That person that was working for your opposition all the years, or someone that is loyal to you? It's a serious case, right? So what type of an attorney, you know, legal profession, who will use? The one that is going to be loyal to you. So the one that is going to be talking about Islam must be the one that is loyal to Allah Ta'ala all his life. He was disloyal, unloyal to Allah Ta'ala. Today he's coming up as an advocate for Islam. How can we have the confidence in that person that he is loyal to Allah Ta'ala? All his life he's been sunnah, guna. Any type of wrong, go and protest, and march, make noise. Are they showing the loyalty? Have they got the flavor of Islam? No flavor of Islam, you didn't show the loyalty to Islam. And today you want to become the advocate and the defendant to Islam. Can you trust, can you rely on such a person? So those people who qualify to explain the hadith, right, who've been loyal to Allah Ta'ala, been loyal to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who's got that expertise, who have given their lives, right, lives, everything they've given to this. So they got the expertise. Those that don't have it, by say I don't have it, and give me a direction, give me an understanding. Otherwise everybody will give his 2 cents. He'll say, no, mine is not 2 cents, mine is 50 cents. Out of 100 cents, mine is 50 cents. That's how he'll look at it. But he doesn't understand that he doesn't have the right explanation, doesn't have the right understanding. You know, the Juma was giving an example that in this masjid some years ago, I was in Atikaf, you know. So one person is going for Umrah. Ramadan time to give Umrah. So he says, well, you know, I got one masla to ask. I say, what's the masla? He says, you know, I'm going for Umrah in the month of Ramadan. So first I'm going to Makkah Mukarramah, do my Umrah there. I'll be there for about 3 weeks. The last week I'll be in Medina Munawara. So now I want to know, you know what, I'm already about 60 years of age, and I've got a big backlog for my qaza namazes. Now, I knew what he's going to get at. When he said, I've got a big backlog, I knew exactly what he's going to. And I read in the Fazail that one namaz in the Haram Sharif is multiplied 100,000. So I'll cover all it, I'll screw everything up. Now, I just want to know, is my reasoning right? Or that was good of the person, business person, very wealthy person. But I liked his approach. He was very clear about what he said. And a lot of you appreciate that. You're clear, you're honest, not playing around. Just playing around, deceiving, ducking, and giving your own explanations to Islam. Really, that's not on. I don't know it. I'm not an expert. I don't know about a heart. The one that has qualified, he's got the expertise in a heart, go to him. I don't know about it. Deen, I'm not an expert. I won't give an explanation. Go to the person who knows about it. Now, I must give my 2 cents. Anything, you know, what I say, my rules, you know, you mustn't break my rules. What I say must go. So your rule is now above the rule of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, in a light-hearted way, I told the Chacha, you know what, you will not only settle all the backlog, all the future namaz that you have to read, all you will settle. Because imagine it's going to be 3 weeks, that's 21 days, right? 21 days time 100,000. 21 fajrs multiplied by how much? Huh? Will you read so many fajr namazes? All, everything you have, the future and the background, everything you have settled. So now then I have to explain to Chacha, bhai, come back, be a simple Muslim. You don't go to the WhatsApp and give your own comments there. Don't go to these sites, to social media, and give your own. You get more and more confused. Someone is coming here. I said, oh, how can he say this and how can he say that? But whoever said whatever, what did you do for the cause of Islam? Whoever said, whatever he said, but for the sake of Islam, what was your contribution? Did you make anything happen? See, the pious of the past, they try to make it happen. Alright, let's make this happen, let's do this, this thing is breaking apart, let's do something. That was one very salient quality in them. Let's make it happen. Number two, the second thing that was in them, very outstanding, the second thing was, to have cover faults, right? Or he made a mistake, but Allah covers all faults, so let us cover it. We don't want to talk about it, just cover it. Crush it under the carpet. Finished. Nobody knows about it. There was a salient quality in these people. So I told that chacha, you know, you'll cover everything, past and the future. Then I explained to him, you know, what is the meaning of the hadith? The meaning is you're going to get that reward. It doesn't mean that you have been freed of your obligation. Obligation still rests on your head. Yes, you got that reward, that amount. So one namaz multiplied by 100,000. So you count 21 days over 100,000, so much thawab you'll get. But now, you misconstrued the whole thing. You felt all the qazas. So I say all the qazas, all the future namaz, everything will be squared up. Now the need to get the explanations from this type of people, this class of people, and not giving our 2 cents into this. Well, Umm Ma'bad radiyallahu anha, this hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. So she has missed out the Hajj with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hajjatul Wida. Now, who won't want to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Everybody would like to be there. We hear now that this year Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to be in Hajj personally, right? Yeah. I know the Haram Sharif will be able to take the crown. I think over 100 million people will come for Hajj. Over 100 million. The Haram Sharif will be able to take the crown, right? If they know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to see him and he's going to be at a certain spot in Makkah, in Medina Munawwara, there are many space. So this Umm Ma'bad radiyallahu anha, for some reason, from some valid reason, she couldn't make the Hajj, right? Like our woman now, they have some problems, whatever problem they have, she couldn't make it. So she expressed her problem afterwards to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which understood that perhaps she had a valid reason not to attend the Hajj. So he consoled her in these words, Umratun fi Ramadana kahajjatim ma'i. Umrah performed in Ramadan is like doing Hajj with me. Now if someone without the parameters and understanding, like I say, you don't know the ingredients, you don't know the flavor. When you don't know the flavor and ingredients, you try to do it yourself, right? Now you know all these things here, and you're trying to explain the hadith yourself. So I'll do Umrah in the month of Ramadan, I don't have to do the Hajj. What will you say? See, if you're just going to go by the translation and give your own explanation, what's going to happen? This is the result. Then you say, well, there's no need to go and spend 5 days and do all this thing, whatever else, you know. Instead of all that, just go for Umrah Ramadan. Plus you did your Hajj. And not just an ordinary Hajj, the Hajj with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine what a great thing you've got. So the ulama will explain the hadith. This is the virtue, the sawab and the reward that you will get. But that obligation of Hajj will still remain. That you have not been absolved. So the Quran Sharif will be explained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallam's words will be explained by these type of Sahaba Kiram, Aimma Mujtahideen, the great great Imams of Hadith, who are loyal to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallam, right from the beginning, right till the end. We'll go with them. And others, we don't know whether they got some other agendas, or whether they're being loyal to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, or whether there's a combination and a mixture of both. Sometimes they're loyal, sometimes they're unloyal. We don't know where they stand. Yes, the person that's loyal all the time, Sahaba Ikram, all the time loyal, all the time faithful to Nabi Sallam, faithful to the cause. Now they give you an explanation, we just take it. Close our eyes and we take it. Look at the Imams and they do the same. Show same level of loyalty. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, 40 years, Fajr namaz with Isha wuzu. I would ask, you know, in the month of Ramadan, anybody did the Fajr namaz with Isha wuzu? Nobody. Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi must have started this right when he was about 30. And he did it right till the age of 70. Until he passed away, right? Anybody can do it. Anybody. Our Bayda'ah, come. You want to compete with these people who explain and given the commentary of the Quran, this, come and see, you can do this. That means he has so much of control over himself. He didn't sleep, right? He didn't overeat, right? That his wuzu may be broken, that he could not. His whole night was as though dedicated. The way he disciplined himself, no overeating, so I don't need to go toilet, no burping, no bloating, nothing. That my wuzu will remain till Fajr, I do my Fajr, and thereafter I'll resume my duties. But such discipline. So if they have discipline on themselves, can you imagine what level of loyalty they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now these are the people that are qualified to talk about the Quran, talk about the Hadith. Therefore, we have got so much of trust and so much of confidence in them. Now anybody coming from some university, looking up some English translation, some type of a dictionary, wherever they're picking it up from, and he says, no, I'm qualified to talk about the Quran and Hadith. What a dangerous thing we're embarking upon. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ. So you see this akhlaq and character. What are we supposed to be doing? How do we work it? One in India, now the systems have changed, right? Before, there weren't these type of systems. So the system in India is the food arrangements. Generally, the madrasa doesn't make the food arrangements those years. Now the madrasa makes the food arrangements. So then students are coming from far and wide. Some can afford, some cannot afford. How will they arrange? So a word is put out. Someone says, no, I will feed 5 people, 4 people, 2 people. They didn't have WhatsApp, but they knew what's to be done. Though they didn't have the WhatsApp, but they knew what must do. Now you know WhatsApp is just for fun, entertainment. How are we going to smash this person here? How can we ridicule him? How can we say the ulama are all going down? How they're crashing? All that we can talk about. But what is to be done that nobody does? What is not to be done that we will talk about? What is to be done? And that time they didn't have all these things, so they knew, alright. So when so students have come, I will take in 3, I will take in 4. The whole thing is covered. So one person, a little bit dark complexion, a little bit fat, you know. So he took care of about 10 students. He'll bring the food. He himself will bring the food, deliver it to the students. Now one day that it was raining or something, so he was delayed in bringing the food. So as he's delayed in bringing the food, as he's approaching the children's rooms, you know, where they're sleeping, so he hears them saying, "Aaj hamara bhees ka kya hua? You know, buffalo that used to bring the food every day. What's happened to him?" He said, "Khuda ki kasam, main kabhi unko khuda nahi, main Allah pak, I'm taking oath in the name of Allah, I'll never feed these people here. I'm doing so much of work, in the rain I'm coming and offering the food, and they're calling me this here. I'm not going to do this here." But I said, you see those people here, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. The image is going, the reputation is going. For the sake of Allah, I'll do that work. No matter what happens, I will do it. I need to secure something. I need to do something. Man was really, really disturbed. So I'm doing so much for them, and this is how I'm getting the rewards for it. Anyway, he's seeing in his dream that it is the Maidan of Qiyamah, you know. The whole process is starting off, and everybody is queuing up to cross the Pul Sirat. And those children that he was feeding, they are moving like lightning. And one of them is saying, "Hamara bhees ko bhi saath le aao. Our buffalo, let's pull him along. See that you don't leave him out." So now when he got up, they could call whatever, but I'm not going to stop this. It's my Jannat. They can tell me, they can ridicule me, they can do me whatever they want. But my Jannat, I am not going to compromise on my Jannat. You see? So we don't realize what is the reward of this good character, generosity. But in the process, like I say, you don't hurt anybody. Don't hurt, don't ridicule, don't hurt him. No matter how he's treating you, that is between him and Allah Ta'ala, whatever he's doing. But your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, that mustn't be affected.